Exodus 17. You'll have to win the battle with Amalek. Comes from a root word of Amal. And that means wearisome, tiresome, human, what? Effort, human sufficiency. Actually, it means irksomeness. It's toil, it's labor, it's frustration. It's living penned within walls you don't know how to get out of. It's dealing with ceilings you don't know how to go through. It's striving, internal and external striving. It can be internal striving of the soul, external striving. It's works and its highest labor. It comes from the original fall. When God had said, man should eat from the dust of the ground and thorns and thistles it would bring forth unto thee. And from that time, man was, that curse came in the world. Jesus redeemed us from the curse, but we have to facilitate that redemption. Amen. When he said, out of the sweat of your brow, you'll bring forth the labor. Now, I'm talking about a job that makes you sweat. I'm not talking about it. It's a spirit that's an operation. It's like on Peter when he toiled all night and caught nothing until the kingdom stepped in his boat and all of a sudden multiplication everywhere. It will try to stop the advancement of the kingdom of God in your life, in a church, corporately, business. It'll try to stop the advancement of the kingdom of God. And you have to understand this enemy, and we have to constantly be reminded. If I'm having to be reminded, I'm quite sure you'll have to be reminded. Amen? Because I deal with this thing on about every 6 months he shows up. And when he shows up, sometimes it takes me a little while to find out, oh my God, there he is. Oop, there he is. Sometimes it's a week or two before I find out he's in operation, but I've learned to discern this. I'm going to share you with you what it looks like. I'm going to show you how to defeat this. Amen. If you don't, you're going to live frustrated in a season of frustration. If you're in a season of frustration and you don't know how to get out of that frustration, you're at war with a spiritual force and you're going to have to learn how to defeat this. Amen. But the freedom and the liberty when you win the battle, you cannot afford to lose the rest of heaven and the peace of heaven. If you're a spiritual person, you build your life in the spirit, you must have the rest of God constantly flowing through your family. You got to flow through your soul. It must flow through your business. It must flow through your home. It has to flow and you have to keep it. It has to be maintained. Amen. It's all part of an alignment with heaven. Verse 8, first thing they were doing in the first part of this chapter, they were striving. There was a bunch of strife. See, the enemy, he'll never stop. He came with strife. They had no water. They were striving. They were chiding against Moses because it dried up. Listen, if you're a Moses and you got a congregation and the water dries up, there's going to be strife. We have leaders have responsibility to keep living waters flowing. Amen. You have to have living waters for people. They're not, especially spiritual people in deep places, they expect living waters. And there was no water. And first thing they did is people turned on Moses. So the water broke out. They won that battle. And then all of a sudden another one shows up. Now, this one's a little more difficult to detect. Verse 8 said, then came Amalek. The reason why Amalek is so hard to detect, because the enemy empowers a part of you that God wants to keep under or put to death altogether. He empowers a part of your old man. And because sometimes that part of us is so familiar, we grew up with it, we've operated in it, God's graduated us from us, but he wants to bring us back to works. He wants to constantly, Paul had this struggle constantly in the church of works versus grace. If it be of grace, say if it be of grace, it cannot be of works. If it be of works, it cannot be of grace. They're diametrically opposed to one another. Can't have them both flowing. It's just impossible. And so the enemy knows if you're hungry, you're thirsty, and you're building your life in the spirit, and you're building your future in the spirit, and you're building your finances, you're building your home, you're building your business, you're building your church. If you're building it in the spirit, he knows he can't stop that. What he wants to do is turn the effort and shift it where he can cut the grace off. Because what he wants to do is cut the grace off your life. If he can cut the grace off your life, you're no more in the free flow anymore. How many of you ever been in the free flow season of God's grace? It just flows, everything. Just glorious, effortless, going flow. I mean, all you got to do is just wake up and just, you know, tiptoe through the tulips, you know. Everything is smooth. How many of you have ever been there? Just smooth. And all of a sudden it shifts and all of a sudden everything is difficult. It's like you're wading through water. mud and water, and it's like everything you do is just hard. I mean, you've got ceilings and you've got pressure being imposed upon you, you have frustration being imposed upon you, and all of a sudden you went from a free flow to all of a sudden now everything is resisting you everywhere. Everything you do is being resisted, and the harder you try, the worse it gets. How many of you have ever been there? Raise your hand. How many are there right now? Raise your hand. Well, you have to shift. You have to recognize that's just not natural forces around you. That's just not natural when people are imposing themselves against you. Sometimes they're spiritual forces. Sometimes it can be one big old strong man called Amalek. He's got a lot of inkling little spirits with him, and he imposes atmospheres around your life to stop your progression into God. If you don't recognize him, you're not going to defeat him. And if you do recognize, you're going to have to learn how to defeat him, because you cannot defeat Amalek in this system. Human sufficiency, weariness, irksomeness, labor, toil, all of that. It's a spirit being imposed upon us to try to shift us out of grace into works. And if we get shifted out of grace into works, we're automatically going to get shut down and enter into warfare that we're not designed to operate into. Because what he does, he wants to pull us into his system. And then every time from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed, we're frustrated. We got anxiety of the heart, soul. We're striving internally, externally. We're out of alignment. That's Amalek. How many of you ever fought that? Raise your hand. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Everybody will at one point in time. I mean, sometimes what the easy tasks become difficult. What was easy yesterday, all of a sudden, I cannot. I mean, everything. Sometimes you just see that kind of atmosphere is being posed against you. In the tendency, once you get in there, what it's trying to do is empower your flesh. Empower the just do it mechanism within your soul. It's empowering that part of you to move that mountain on your own. And what happens when you get in there, fear will set in, anxiety will set in, because now you're in a situation you can't move it. And it's requiring you put your trust in God, but I can't right now because I got to go do this. It's requiring me. And the more I do it, the worse it gets. The more I try to move it, the hardest part of that battle, listen to me very carefully, is God is going to require you to walk away from it in the natural. Or surrender it. How many surrender it? He's going to require you to get your hands off of it. That's hard when it needs your hands. Or you think it needs your hands. Amen? It's required to surrender the control up. When you're so accustomed to having it all under control. Getting quiet in here. I'm preaching to somebody. Then came Amalek and fought. Say fought. Fought. Now, I want you to look at the last part of this chapter just so you'll understand something. Verse 16. And he said, because the Lord has sworn, when God swears, he has sworn that the Lord will have war, say war, with Amalek from generation to generation. That spirit is not going to be completely put under until the Lord returns. Amen. But we can have victory over it all the time. Amen.
How do you know that?
Well, look at verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for memorial in a book. Rehearse it in the ears of the father's house. For I will utterly put out remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Do you see that? He utterly put it out from under heaven, but he says in the earth, you're going to have war with it. In the heaven, it's already put out. It's been extinguished. Isn't that glorious? So it's all a matter where you're building from. Amen? You get too involved. I don't care what you're trying to do. Advancement of your ministry, relationships, homes. You get your old man too involved in a situation in the earth, Amalek will show up to facilitate your old man, to entangle him, to bind him up. To bind him up. You can get bound in your business. You can take a God-ordained business, God-ordained church, God-ordained marriage, God-ordained relationships, and the enemy can bind them up. If you get out of alignment, and if he binds your old man into it, it's going to shut the grace of God down over your life. That's what he wants, the entanglement factor. He wants to entangle you. Amen? How do I do this? I'm in the earth. I got to do the business. I got to do ministry. I have to do this. Yes, you do, but you do it from a position with God, from above, with the old man surrendered. And if you don't, the old man's going to come up. The enemy's going to try to empower him, to entangle him. Amen? Now let's watch the wisdom of this chapter. Amen? Glory to God. I thank God for the day he taught me how to overcome this. Because I know what to do and where to go. Amen? If not, you live in a perpetual state of frustration. You can have a business as God ordained and live in a perpetual state of frustration. You can have a church and be God ordained. I remember when we got out of alignment as a church, our whole vision got out of alignment. The enemy tried to shift it from where we were going to works and started a works-oriented operation. And we were just everything looked good. We were busy, busy, busy like bees. 35 different departments going at one time, all this stuff. But it was all out of order. It all looked good, but I was constantly frustrated. There wasn't a day I woke up that I wasn't frustrated. Because it wasn't seated where God wanted it to be. You could be in the same way in a business. God ordained, but the enemy has shifted it for you carrying it instead of God carrying it. The Bible says, commit your way unto the Lord. Cast the whole of your care. Cast the burden on him. It's either he's going to carry it or you carry it. If you carry it, there's going to be frustration. There's going to be striving. If you carry it, there's going to be heaviness. If you carry it, there's going to be irksomeness. How many of you ever experienced some irksomeness? Raise your hand. If you're, it's because you're carrying it. Because you don't ever recognize you're carrying it. And the frustration will cause you to bow down eventually. The frustration will eventually break you. But you don't have to live like that. You don't have to wait for your circumstance to break you. You can just shift it. By recognizing, ooh, too much of me is involved in this. I've allowed my soul to be entangled in something God's doing. Listen, when Uzzah, I called Carlos one day. I was frustrated over something. Carlos goes, Uzzah, Uzzah. I'm like, don't say that. He goes, Uzzah. You know what Uzzah means? That's when David, they were carrying the ark. And they were bringing it in Jerusalem. And remember, Uzzah came along the ark that started shaking. Listen, just because the glory starts shaking things don't mean you get to touch it. Uzzah thought he'd just go steady something that belonged to God. And he touched it, died. See, when your flesh starts trying to steady the glory of God, your flesh is going to die. Because flesh cannot touch the glory of God. That's God's whole operation. If I give you something in the glory of God, your flesh is not going to get to do this. It's my spirit. And if your flesh shows up, you're going to get an Uzzah moment in your life. Uzzah. Everyone say, Uzzah. I remember that day when he said that on the phone. He goes, Uzzah. Because I know exactly what he was talking about. Truth hurts. Slap you right upside the head. Listen, you can operate under governmental harmony. When Sharon did this thing with Hurricane Harvey, she was operating under she's doing things, pop, 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 pop. But she was under an anointing of governmental harmony, see. You operate, you can get things done. Yes, your hands are going to touch it, but her old man wasn't. God was operating through the operation of the new man, see. And when your new man, see, when Jesus stepped in Peter's boat, he didn't change anything but the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. The kingdom of light stepped into the boat, and then that facilitated increase and multiplication done under the covering and glory of the kingdom. Amen. Have to stay in the kingdom. To stay in the kingdom, it's going to be by grace. If it be by grace, it's not of works. And if it's not of works, your old man cannot get overly involved in the process. Your soul is a good thing, but it can be detrimental in the operations of the kingdom. Sometimes you don't know your soul is an operation. Sometimes you're going to have to, you're not going to get a thus saith the Lord. Hey, you're in the way. Hey, you're out of alignment. It's not going to happen like that. Circumstances are going to have to prophesy to you. Your circumstances will tell you I'm out of alignment. Once I start feeling that, now I got to get back in alignment. Sometimes it's not that easy. Because once I got the edge, I can keep it under and I'm on top of it. Hallelujah. It's like a fine-tuned athlete. I'm on top of my game. Amen. When I let that thing over, then I'm at war with it again. Because I let myself out of alignment. And I got entangled with the world when I wasn't supposed to be entangled with it. Amen. It's possible to walk with your business and walk in a church and walk in the Spirit without being entangled. But if you're entangled and Uzzah is present, you're going to have the wisdom of God to win the battle. It's going to be a hard thing, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not used to this. So let's see how Moses won. Amen? Am I prophesying to anybody? Then came Amalek and fought with the father's house. He'll fight in the natural, but we win the war in the realm of the supernatural. Now you don't go, notice what Moses didn't do. He didn't launch a spiritual warfare campaign against Amalek. He didn't do that. In fact, he did something that's quite contrary to most operations. Watch what happened. So Moses said to Joshua, choose out men, go out, fight with Amalek. And tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with a rod of God, with a rod of God in my hand. Isn't that amazing? Where did Moses go? He left that battlefield. He left that atmosphere. He left. See, you're going to have to separate spirit from soul at that point. You're going to have a dividing word that separates the operation of your old man from what you're doing if you want to break the chain of frustration and break the chain of striving and break the chain of heaviness. You got to break that chain. You have to break from it. You have to get a part of you loose from that operation. And the way you do that is not continually binding yourself with more of your own effort. You have to, at some point in your day, get disconnected from that system. And the only way to disconnect is to go up into the mountain of God. If you don't know how to do that, you're going to keep striving around that thing. It's the word of God that separates soul and spirit. You got to get your soul separated. I'm talking to spiritual people. This house is spiritual people. We're building in the spirit. If you build in the spirit, we're going to have to build by the law of spirit. It's called the law of grace. We have to build in grace. Works has no place. But the enemy, every season after season, he'll try to show up to pull a part of you in to get it bound up in works. Why? He wants to shut down the grace. If he shuts down your grace, you're going to get in trouble. It may take a while for you to recognize it, but all of a sudden trouble is going to show up because grace has been cut off. I live and walk and breathe by the grace of God. Amen. Everyone say grace, grace. And more grace. The best thing I can do is keep my old man off of the situation. Or keep my soul off the situation. Amen. Sometimes I don't know my soul's doing that. Sometimes I get so excited, my soul shows up in the midst of the excitement of what God's doing. And then it wants to come and interject an ooze a moment with God. Got to watch that steadying of the ark with the old man. We don't get the luxury of steadying the ark with our soul. Our spirit is in constant communion and perfect alignment with the glory of God. But if your old man, your soul tries to take the place and step in the middle of that situation, it's going to get burned. These things are spiritually discerned, but you're going to have this battle. If you walk with God, you will have this. But you also have the victory. Amen. What is the first thing Moses did? He left the battlefield. You don't leave the responsibilities of life. You disconnect your old man from it. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is done with the Lord, by the Lord, in the Lord. You cannot do that apart from Him. Because you're going to have to get into the garden of His rest in order for this to happen. If you don't get into His rest, He said, he that entereth into my rest, he ceases from his own works. He's talking about the works of the old man there. He ceases, say ceases. Come unto me all that labor and are heavy laden. He's telling you, bring all that stuff to me. And I will give you the rest you need to come into alignment with me. If you don't, you're going to wear the frustration. You're going to wear the heaviness. You're going to wear all that. And it's going to have an effect upon your ministry. It'll have an effect upon your household, relationships, business. It will have an effect upon your life. Amen. So Moses leaves and he goes to the top of the hill. Joshua did as Moses said and fought with Amalek. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Woo! Position, position, position. Say position, position, position. His hands got heavy. Watch what happens. And Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone and put it under him. And he sat down. Say he sat down. He sat down. That's your position. The stone is the rock of Christ. He sat down into Christ, seated at the right hand. Say seated. You're going to have to learn to get your spirit seated into God. That is a position of ultimate victory all the time. It's totally contrary to the world system, because the world system is demanding you come and fix the problem. God's asking you to leave the problem and sit down and let me fix it. God is not going to fix it while you're trying to fix it. The longer you try to fix it, the worse it'll get. It'll just stay there until you can let go. But letting go is not that easy, because sometimes I say, I let go. But it's not that easy. Sometimes you've already entwined with it. Sometimes you're already inside it. You're wrapped up in it. You can't just say, I let go, because your soul is wrapped up and becomes a spiritual thing. It's like vines and thorns have been wrapped around. You got to get that disconnected and broken and severed. Sometimes just saying, okay, I let go and I surrender, God, it's not enough. You have to bring that into God and let the Lord Jesus. There is a place in Him. When you sit down with Him, He'll break that spirit off your life. Because that spirit cannot sit down at the right hand of God. Because the right hand of God is fullness of grace. You can get positioned in the rest. You come into the garden of rest. You can lay that down and the Lord Jesus will cut that stuff off of you. Sometimes it's a battle. I warred with that thing all day yesterday. Except for the time I was watching a little bit of football. Took a break, went back in. I don't know, because I was so caught up all day long that, man, I couldn't get victory of it. It's frustrating when you can't get victory. And this morning I woke up, I said, I am going to win this battle today. Man, we went in there, and the Lord broke all that off of me in the spirit. I'm like, whoa, there it is. And the rest, it feels like warm oil. It was in here this morning. It was in here during worship. You could feel it. You could feel that rest, that presence, that sweetness that came in the prayer closet. And I'm like, whoa, it's surrendered again. I found it. See, you find it on the top of the rock. See, he sat down on the rock. That's a place of perfect surrender. If you don't learn to surrender like that, you're going to live frustrated. You're going to live in internal strivings, external strivings. There's a place where the enemy has no place. And as soon as Moses sat down, Joshua immediately discomfited. See, your word and your life, Joshua represents the sword of God in your hand. Your word will go out and defeat Amalek just like that. That is a defeat. That kind of victory only comes from a seated position. Does that make sense? And when you get seated, that sword will go out and defeat that enemy. If you're in the middle of that atmosphere, you're not going to defeat him. He'll wear you out. He's there to wear you out. That's what he does. He wears you down. Can't defeat him in his own atmosphere. You got to get out of his atmosphere. And amen? You understand what I'm saying? You come out, but there's a place of escape into God. I'm talking to spiritual people this morning. There's a place of escape into God, and then your sword will work. You can sit in the middle of Amalek and shout at him all the day and do all the kind of things, spiritual warfare. I bind you, and he'll still be there wearing you down because you're in his atmosphere. And God told Moses, don't fight him in his atmosphere. Get out. Get into the mountain of God. Sit down with me. Then your sword will work. Amen? Your sword will work. He'll be discomforted. I've done this so many times. I know. I know the place. I know how. And it works. Amen? He breaks the whole thing off of you. It's glorious to be free. Say freedom. It's glorious to stay free. Hallelujah. You don't have to wear. That's why he said, watch what happens here. It's powerful. Praise God. I feel good today. And Moses answered, he sat down. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and the people with the edge of the sword. I mean, they won that battle gloriously. You have to learn to win the battles. Amen. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for memorial in a book. Rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Rehearse it in the ears of the Father's house. I'm rehearsing today. Praise God. He said rehearse. You know what a rehearse is? It's a hearse with a re in front of it. That means rehearse. Don't just hearse it, rehearse it. Amen? Don't just preach it, re-preach it. That's what he's saying. See, this ain't going to be one message you're going to preach and stick in your file cabinet. You're going to have to hearse it with a re in front of it. Say rerun. Rerun. Rehearse. Re-preach. This one is going to be remind. Remind the people is what he's saying. Remind them. Why? Rehearse it more in the book, the years of Joshua, for I will utterly put off Amalek from under heaven. Jesus broke that forever. He broke that with a crown of thorns. Out of the sweat of the brow, you bring forth labor. Those thorns pierced the brow. He broke the curse forever. Gave us his rest. Gave us his position of rest. Gave us his place of rest. We can sit down now. Amalek has been forever put out from under heaven. There is a place that Amalek cannot exist. If you can get there, Amalek must let go. Amen. There are no works in heaven. There's no spirit of works. It's all grace. If you dwell there, Amalek has to let go. He hates you for it. I gotta let go. I gotta leave you right now, but I'm not liking it. I said, you definitely have to leave me right now. And you will like it. Because I don't fight him in this jurisdiction. Once I recognize, I said, the hard part is dragging him up to God. Because you're all entangled. Your soul's entangled. It's hard to let go because you get so entangled. You don't want to let go. Have you ever had a problem you just want to fix? I mean, you might have right now, is all I'm doing is fixing. Except your fixer's not working anymore. Because your fixer's in a natural system that has a spiritual entity that's more powerful than your fixer. Amen? And having to let go of something, that's the hard part. I don't get to do this with my soul. I don't get to touch it. If I do, I'm going to have someone prophesying, Uzzah, Uzzah. I hear that chant, Uzzah, Uzzah. Carlos is enjoying this message. I can feel his joy over there. Everyone say, Uzzah. Gotta watch steady in the ark. Gotta let go. Amen. Get up in a heavenly place. Amalek cannot remain. Your faith has to drag that stuff up there. And then you can easily let it go. You'll feel the break. You'll feel it get broken. You'll feel all of it loose. And here's the beautiful thing. When it gets loosed up there, it gets loose down here. All the stuff that was resisting, all of a sudden breaks open. Because it's not you doing it. It's the Lord now. And he's not going to work when you're working. He didn't go out with Peter until Peter got through with his own way. Peter docked his boat, probably quite frustrated, caught nothing, and then Jesus says, now you're ready. Now you're ready. Amen? You have to dock your boat your way sometimes and stop doing it that way. You got to get up into the kingdom. Amen? Say, get up into the kingdom. Get up into the right hand. Now I'm in the right hand. Whew. Moses built an altar and called the name of what? Jehovah Nissi. What is that? Isn't that the Lord our banner? Isn't that the Lord our banner? Isn't that the Lord our banner? What is his banner over me is what? Love. What else is it? His banner over me is what? Grace. The Lord's banner over me is grace. I'm not under the banner of works. I'm under the banner of grace. He built the altar. And then the Lord swore, you're going to have war with his spirit for perpetual generations. Under heaven, not in heaven. Amen. While you operate in the earth, as long as the enemy has a lease on this earth, you're going to fight with him in this area. But if you stay properly positioned, you'll stay in peace, you'll stay in grace, and he'll have no power over you. God will keep your spirit in the ascendancy and your flesh and your soul seated. Amen? Amen. Say amen. I want to say one more verse and then we'll close. I love this verse. We repeat this one often too. And this verse is out of Ecclesiastes. Solomon said, I've seen servant upon horses and princes walking upon the face of the earth. How many of you have heard me preach on that? Raise your hand. If you've not heard me preach on that, raise your hand. Okay, that's good. Servant upon horses, Solomon says, I see the most unusual thing. I see a servant upon a horse and the prince walking on the face of the earth. Who's supposed to be on the horse, the prince or the servant? The prince. But it's been unseated. If you look at that like spirit, soul, and body, the prince is the new man. The servant is the soul. The horse is the body. The prince, the new man, should have the reins of the body. And the soul or the servant should be walking behind. But what happens is that order gets reversed and the soul sits upon the body. It takes the reins and your spirit man gets unseated from his position. And the soul takes the position of control. Once this happens with the soul and the body running things in your life, they're going to run you right into disalignment in the kingdom. Because they don't know how to run anything in a kingdom. And when your soul is in charge of your life, you are headed for trouble. Barney, rubble, trouble. You're headed for it. You may not know it, but you are headed for it. God has to get that new man prince heir on that horse with the reins and the soul under authority, under submission. To do that, you're going to have to dwell with the Lord. You're going to have to be close to him. If you're not close to him, the soul will immediately take over. That's what's the problem with everybody. That's what's going on. Not this church, but everybody else out there. That's what their problem is. Their soul is running their life. They have no spirit, man. It's in ascendancy. But see, God deals with a new man, not the old. He's dealing with a new man. He's giving instruction through the new. He's giving wisdom through the new. He gives his grace through the new man. But the enemy wants to put that old man on the horse. Why? So he can put you in a state of works. If he gets you in a state of works, he cuts your grace off. If he cuts your grace off, you're headed for trouble. Disharmony, frustration, constant.
I wanted to tell you that this word that he's giving is an end time word that he's sharing that we need to know because David had to defeat the Amalekites before he was crowned. And Pastor Leroux was sharing that the white horse is getting ready to run and to be crowned. We're getting ready for the crown. And so Amalek is the grandson of Esau. Esau represents flesh. So in order to defeat the flesh, he had to go up the mountain of God and deal with the flesh. He dealt with the flesh up the mountain of God, like the right hand of God, like Pastor LaRue has been teaching us. So when he sat on the rock represents Jesus. When he had Aaron on one side and her on the other side, Aaron means teacher or mountain of strength. And he was holding his hands up, which means he was connected to Jesus, the teacher. And through that connection of being on the mountain, strength was transported, strength was translated into Moses.